the best of the week on Relevant Radio.
I want to start off with this. Actually, a listener sent me a really interesting link, and I encourage you guys to do so as well. You can email me, kale@relevantradio.com. Send me a link, become a shadow producer. And this was about C.S. Lewis. Now, I don't know if you guys are fans of the writings of C.S. Lewis, but he is one of my absolute favorites. He was so key in my faith journey, and I'm sure that's true for many of you as well. Incredible apologist in the 20th century. He was not Catholic, and a lot of people always scratch their heads about why he never became Catholic formally. He believed a lot of Catholic stuff, though. He really did. C.S. Lewis's real name, of course, was Clive Staples Lewis. He was born in 1898, died in 1963, on the same day as President John F. Kennedy when he was assassinated, and Aldous Huxley, the author of Brave New World, and Peter Kraft, great philosopher, great friend of the program as well, once wrote a book. I think it was called Between Heaven and Earth. It was an imaginary conversation in the afterlife between C.S. Lewis, John F. Kennedy, and Aldous Huxley. But he was an intellectual giant, Clive Staples Lewis, and an incredibly influential writer and incredibly influential Christian apologist as well. Now, his day job was he was actually a fellow and tutor in English literature at Oxford University in the UK, obviously one of the world's most famous institutions. And he held that position up until 1954, and then he was unanimously elected to the chair of medieval and Renaissance literature at Cambridge University. And of course, the great rivalry between Oxford and Cambridge. And he held that position until he retired. He wrote more than 30 books, and his books are still widely read to this day. You probably heard of three major motion pictures that are based on his Chronicles of Narnia fantasy series. The Chronicles of Narnia. All right, anyways, those Narnia books have sold over 100 million copies. They've become a franchise unto themselves. And he also wrote some other fantasy works, such as Out of the Silent Planet, all kinds of science fiction. Of course, The Great Divorce, The Screwtape Letters, really, really practical satire, theological book that became super, super popular in the 20th century, especially in the United States. It's about a senior demon named Screwtape, who's instructing his nephew, who's this junior demon. He doesn't know what he's doing. His name is Wormwood. And it's all about how to tempt this guy who they've been assigned to try to make sure that he doesn't get to heaven. He's known as the patient. How do we get this guy to disbelieve in God? How do we get this guy to fall prey to temptation? It's an incredible book. If you've read it, you know what I'm talking about. Maybe that's your favorite C.S. Lewis book. The one that was really influential for me was Mere Christianity. Mere Christianity, which actually started off as a series of radio talks that he gave during the Second World War, which became, of course, the book Mere Christianity. And so he really has brought a lot of people to faith in Christ, really answered a lot of questions that I had. But in particular, he became super popular among Catholics in the United States. Catholics really got his message. They really understood C.S. Lewis before almost anybody else. And I think it's because of certain things that Lewis wrote about. And producer Jim, do you have a clip of Lewis?
The Christian life is simply a process of having your natural self changed into a Christ self, and that this process goes on very far inside. One's most private wishes, one's point of view, are the things that have to be changed. That's why unbelievers complain that Christianity is a very selfish religion. Isn't it very selfish? Even morbid, they say, to be always bothering about the inside of your own soul, instead of thinking of humanity. Now, what would an NCO say to a soldier who had a dirty rifle, and when told to clean it, replied, "But, Sergeant, isn't it very selfish, even morbid, to be always bothering about the inside of your own rifle, instead of thinking of the United Nations?" Well, we needn't bother about what the NCO would actually say. You see the point? The man's not going to be much use to the United Nations if his rifle isn't fit to shoot with. In the same way, people who are still acting from their old natural selves won't do much real permanent good to other people.
Okay, so that's the voice of C.S. Lewis himself. It's always a good idea to hear from C.S. Lewis. It's always a good idea to read the writings of C.S. Lewis. They're super practical. And I got to confession time here. I have not read The Chronicles of Narnia. I know. My daughter, Michaela, is probably incredibly disappointed listening to the show right now. I was sent by a listener an incredible article that was written by Professor Mark Knoll. He's a pretty famous history professor. He taught at Wheaton College in Illinois for many years, also the University of Notre Dame. And he wrote a series of really intriguing books. One of them was called The Scandal of the Evangelical Mind. And the big joke was, there isn't one. That's not entirely true, but it's just a little attempted humor. But Mark Knoll, I remember hearing him speak during my years in Protestantism when I was at an evangelical seminary, and he came in to address students and faculty, and I was really impressed by this guy. He also wrote a book about the history of Christianity in North America, and one of the things that he said was the Catholic Church in Quebec in the 1950s, that time period in Quebec, Canada, he called it the most Christianized place that had ever been seen on the face of the earth, because everybody went to Mass every Sunday. The church was ubiquitous. But what's interesting, too, is that the faith is in one generation, everything completely fell apart. If you've been to Quebec, and maybe you have, Father Rocky, every year he goes on a pilgrimage to the Oratory of St. Joseph. Most of the churches are empty on Sundays. It's just completely fallen apart. It's become almost incredibly, totally secular. And how did it fall apart in one generation? Well, a good priest friend of mine, Father Eric Nicolai, hails from Montreal, and he said, I don't think it was ever really Christian in the first place. It was only apparently Christian, on the surface only, and just one little crack and it all fell apart. And that's an interesting perspective. But anyways, Mark Knoll is a fine historian, and he had written this article in the Ad Fontes Journal called Lewis Takes Manhattan. And it's really all about why Americans in particular, they kind of got Lewis. Why it was that Americans glommed onto him, and specifically Catholic Americans really loved his writings, and why did they resonate with the Catholic mind? Well, Mark Knoll says that in December of 1935, it was the first American book review of anything written by C.S. Lewis, which appeared in the New York Times. It was about a book that he wrote called The Pilgrim's Regress. You might have heard of the famous book, The Pilgrim's Progress. Well, Pilgrim's Regress is an allegory by Lewis all about how Christianity really meets the needs of the human person on a personal level, on an intellectual level, far better than any alternative that's out there in the market. It just coheres with reality, which is very important. This is called verisimilitude. It's a key fitting into a lock. It just makes sense. That makes sense. If God is real, if he set up the world, if he created us, and if Christ is real, he really redeemed us. He knows how this whole life project should really work. Well, after that, 1935, that was a glowing review in the New York Times. And then in 1947, 12 years later, he was on the cover, C.S. Lewis was, of Time magazine, which of course was the best-selling magazine in America back then. And so it wrote about another book of his called Miracles, an amazing book. All of this happened before the first Narnia tale came out in 1950. It's before Mere Christianity came out in 1952. And of course, he gave these talks on the radio. They eventually became the book Mere Christianity. And that's really when he became a worldwide household name. But it's really intriguing why American Catholics in particular really got Lewis. So Mark Knoll says a lot of stuff in his article. But he said that, quote, Catholic readers of C.S. Lewis provided the fullest, most learned, and most appreciative audience. Protestant reviewers, while mainly positive, engaged with fewer of his works. Evangelical Protestants, who are now among the most enthusiastic Lewis devotees, trailed mainline Protestants in coming to appreciate the Oxford Dawn, end of quote. What about Catholics and C.S. Lewis? Well, Thomas Merton, and there's another guy that I have to confess to you, I know who he is, of course. I have not read The Seven Story Mountain. I know Merton is controversial in many ways, but very famous convert to Catholicism, was baptized as a Catholic, eventually became a Trappist monk in Kentucky. And Thomas Merton reviewed C.S. Lewis in 1939, a book called The Personal Heresy. And Thomas Merton really actually loved C.S. Lewis's work. And And they got a lot of attention. His books got a lot of attention in other Catholic periodicals. And Catholics were the only ones in America who wrote about all of the books of C.S. Lewis. There were 17 books at that time, and nobody else wrote about all of his books except for Catholics. And some of them, the Catholic reviewers are critical of how he looked at the idea of church, which isn't that surprising because he wasn't Catholic. One professor named, he actually taught at Canisius College in Buffalo, New York, Charles Brady, who lived from, no relation to Tom Brady, 1912 to 1995, but he quarterbacked the faculty, if you will, at Canisius College in Buffalo, New York. And he wrote some articles in America, which is, of course, the weekly journal that came out weekly at the time, sponsored by American Jesuits. And he talked about Lewis's academic writing on literature, especially Milton, and how that kind of got into his more popular works like the Screwtape Letters. And actually, Charles Brady, Professor Brady, said that the Screwtape Letters was, quote, the most phenomenally popular household book of applied religion in the 20th century, end of quote. It's true. It's applied religion. It's super practical. If you read the book, it's a great meditation on what the enemy might be thinking of, how to take you down. And he also said this, Charles Brady, this Catholic professor, said that C.S. Lewis is the only truly popular champion of orthodoxy in book, in pamphlets, in radio addresses since the passing of Gilbert Keith Chesterton. So, wow, he's basically saying, like, he's the greatest writer and defender of the faith since the late G.K. Chesterton. That's very high praise. And obviously the two of them are really very much in the same vein, G.K.C. and C.S. Lewis. Brady was super, super fond of his works. What was it specifically, I think, that made Catholics really interested in what he said? Well, not only was his writing very clear and very understandable and very accessible by so many different people, one of the things that he did on a theological level was that he really focused, and he does this especially in Mere Christianity, he talks a lot about objective morality, about something like that right and wrong really do exist. There is something as right. There are things that are truly morally wrong. And this is a key to understanding the universe and the meaning of life. And in fact, that goes all the way back to St. Thomas Aquinas. But C.S. Lewis made this really, really accessible to a popular audience. And of course, for us Catholics and other Christians aren't so big into this as we are, the idea of a natural law, a natural moral law in the universe is really, really something that it's a big part of our belief system. This entire episode of The Faith Explained is on the Relevant Radio app. The Relevant Radio app is completely free and updated daily with fresh articles, podcasts, and prayers. Don't delay. Download the app today. And thanks for listening.